TED Talk with Jeff Quattromani.
It's a Monday afternoon, and as always, on a Monday afternoon, we talk to Jeff Quattromani and we do a tech talk. I discovered a new app over the weekend. Not that I'm able to use it, but let's try something. This is a translation app. It's free. Let's say something like this. It may or it may not work. Here we go. Coming up next is Jeff Quattromani talking tech. Here we go. I'll play it back. This is in French.
Le suivant, c'est Jeff Quattromani qui parle.
Say it again.
Le suivant, c'est Jeff Quattromani qui parle.
As the lady said, coming up next is Jeff Quattromani talking tech. Hello, Jeff. Oh, I've got to push the button. After all that, we need to push the button. Let's do that again. Here we go, in French.
Le suivant, c'est Jeff Quattromani qui parle.
Jeff Quattromani, ever been introduced in French on a program?
Bonsoir.
Ah, si! That's the wrong... Have you ever been introduced in... We could do it. I tell you what. Why don't we do it in German? Would you like to do it in German?
That would be easier, yeah.
It would be easier? Here we go. This is in German.
Als nächstes kommt Jeff Quattromani über Technik.
There you go.
Oh, I like that one. That's much better.
Isn't this app amazing? Translate? I said to my wife yesterday, I said, if you went overseas now, because I haven't travelled a lot at all, but I did go to Greece and I did go to Egypt.
Yep.
And I tried to learn, you know, thank you and a few words in both Greece and when we're in Egypt.
Yeah.
And shokran and things like that is in Arabic. Thank you. I think, am I right in saying that? Let's go to... Arabic, Arabic's there. Let's do this. Thank you. What does it say? How do you say it in Arabic?
Shukran la.
There you go. Shukran la. Yeah.
What is this app you're using?
Mate, it's called Translate.
Oh, is it the Google one?
Yeah, no. Yeah. It's no. Is it Google? It's on Apple. I mean, is it a Google one or is it Apple?
I mean, there is the app Google Translate, and I've used it numerous times. It sounds similar, and it's fantastic. You can either type or talk into it, and it translates. The other feature, if it's on there, is the ability to open the camera, and you can point the camera at a different language, you know, text, and actually translates it into English for you.
No,
so if you're looking at a French menu, hover your camera over, and it gives you all the English translation.
No,
really
this doesn't have it. This seems to be a free one that came with the Apple update. So Google has that ability to take a photo and it will tell you what's on the menu.
Absolutely. It does it live as well. So you can just be moving your camera around, say if you're standing in the streets in France, and you could be pointing it to a shop front and will translate the shop name into English for you on the spot.
Isn't it amazing to think, though, that we could go overseas now to any country in the world because this app here does, let me see, it does Arabic, Chinese... obviously English, French, German, Italian, Japanese, Korean, Portuguese, Russian, and Spanish.
It's incredible. Incredible stuff.
And it does it all for nothing.
And so fast as well.
I know.
You don't have to even ask another person.
Yeah.
I thought the app might have to ring a French teacher and say, hey, can you help us now with this one?
It just comes back. And if you want to change it, it'll change as quick as that.
Amazing. I love it.
Technology. Speaking of which, Apple have launched... We didn't bother to ring you last week because there was no real big news apart from the fact that Apple have had a final major event for the year and announced new components to their computers and their new MacBooks.
Yeah, look, it was their one more thing event. It's their last one of the year. And I think, you know, the biggest news is that they've got their own internal components now. They used to work with Intel to provide a lot of their internal components. Now they're making their own. So they've updated three of their laptops. So the new MacBook Air, the new MacBook Pro, and sorry, their Mac Mini, which is a desktop, has this new componentry inside it. It doesn't mean a lot to anybody, except they say it's just a lot faster, better graphics and things like that. But the best bit, if you are buying one of those machines now rather than the previous version, it's the same price. So they haven't actually increased the price by making this change. they've kept it the same. So kudos to Apple on that one at least.
Were you disappointed that this was all they talked about?
Oh, look, no, I'm not, to be honest, because I think after two realistically letdowns earlier in the year, I think this one was, I didn't have my hopes up this time. All the rumored products that we talked about from January to now, none of them came true. So all we got was replacement products of existing products that existed already this year. Apple didn't really bring anything new to market, just updated their old product.
So with this, and here's one more thing, were you disappointed that this was all Apple talked about?
I think it was expected, to be honest. Right. I think as much as we wanted to hear about new headphones or new innovations from Apple, I didn't have my hopes up this time. As much as I've wanted to hear about these new products, I think we tend to create this buzz and fanfare ourselves, and Apple didn't have anything to meet those rumours.
What does it mean for Apple in the future? I mean, because they've become the bland, boring side of computers.
It does. I mean, it definitely does. But on the other hand, look at how they're going. I mean, when I heard about these new computers, I didn't think it was a big deal, but I saw friends of mine posting on Facebook that they just ordered the new Mac and people getting all excited about it. No one gets excited about computers like they do about Apple ones. They've still got this flair around them, which hasn't died yet. Maybe has died a little bit, but it's not definitely not over for them.
Okay. The latest gaming consoles have gone on sale. If you haven't bought or pre-ordered by now, it might be a bit late for Christmas. There's a couple of things about gaming here. Go for your life, because I know nothing about gaming. And nothing.
No, look, it's not too bad. I've been testing both of the new gaming consoles, and they're fantastic. I mean, obviously more power, better graphics and things like that. But realistically, a message for parents, if you're thinking about buying one of these new consoles for your kids this year, they're all sold out. And you probably won't get allocations until next year now, even if you ordered one today. I have, however, seen them on eBay last night. PlayStation 5s, which normally sell for $750, are actually being sold on eBay, so with multiple bids, over $2,000.
Gosh.
So if you're desperate for one, you can still get one through eBay and pay a premium price for it. But otherwise, yes, new gaming consoles are great, but you'll have to wait a little while before you can actually get one.
Just tell them to go outside and play a game.
Yeah, pretty much. Go and kick a ball. Or the other machine that I've been testing, which is quite funny, is an arcade machine. I've got this arcade machine sitting in front of me, which works really well on a bench. It's got the joystick. It's got Pac-Man. It's got Galaga. All the stuff that people would have played in those milk bars in the 80s. It's now available, brand new. I'm looking at this thing. It's about $300, and it's a lot of fun. Doesn't even need the internet. It just works.
What about a pinball machine?
Oh, I don't have a pinball machine yet. I probably should try and get one of those to put next to this.
Love a pinball machine.
I do like pinball.
Yeah, I was pretty good at pinball. If you own a Google Smart Speaker, there's some news out with, and you're a Telstra customer, they're doing something for you?
Yeah, this is an interesting combination here. So Telstra's been working with Google on this deal where if you've got any of those Google Smart Speakers or even those ones with the screens, which is the Nest Hub, if you have any of those around your home, you can actually link it to your mobile number. And this is interesting because it means that if you receive a call, you can actually just ask Google to answer it and you can have that conversation with your smart speaker instead of touching your phone. But you can also make phone calls as well. And I was thinking about this last night as to why this is interesting, because why would you want to make a call on a smart speaker in the first place? But I was thinking about the elderly here, and you know, you let me know if this is a good idea or not. But if you've got somebody who's elderly in the home, if they have a fall, they can't get to their phone. Just being able to call out for, you know, hey, Google, call emergency services, I think there's some benefit in that if you combine those two together, potentially looking after somebody.
There is if the older person is tech savvy. My mum was nearly 90, still living at home on her own, and I remember going, her phone played up, right? She had a real basic phone, and her phone broke, and I went and bought her the simplest of mobile phones that I could possibly buy her, because she was not in any way tech savvy at all.
Yeah.
And she couldn't, to the day she died, she just couldn't work out how to use this new phone. And I tried for so many times to say, Mum, this is the green button, that's the button you push to make the call, and the red button's the one that you hang up the call with, and I've got your half a dozen call numbers that you want with your couple of friends, and there's me there, and you can push this button. Just in one ear and out the other. So I suppose for people that are like that, they wouldn't think about saying Google call emergency services.
It is tough, and it's something I'm always thinking about is, you know, we have all this amazing technology around us, but if it's not extremely accessible or so simple for anybody to just immediately learn and use, it becomes limited as to who can actually access it. So, yeah, it's one of those things I'm always thinking about with the elderly, and I think they're going to be the ones that we need to be looking after the most.
I do too, and I think one of the cameras that we've talked about before, having a couple of cameras around their house, if they're living on their own, having one of the cameras around their house that you can, you know, catch up on them and see if they're in the lounge room or if they're in the bedroom or if they're in the kitchen and they're okay. Not to spy on them, for goodness sake, but to just make sure they're okay.
Completely agree. And I think especially with COVID and people who couldn't visit their parents and things like that, even more so when you're just relying on something to tell you that that they moved this morning, that they got out of bed, something like that.
Yeah. There will be, as you say, in years to come, as we get older as a population, I dare say there'll be more and more devices coming onto the market that will look after the aged.
I think so too.
Yeah. We've talked about the speaker, fire safe, a couple of recalls. I read one of them in the paper. I didn't know about the Kogan power bank. So you've got the Ring doorbells and the Kogan power banks.
Yeah, this is crazy. So the Ring video doorbell, I've tested a fair few of them actually in the past. But the second generation, if you do own one of those, there is a recall on them because they're obviously sitting right near your front door, and there's a fire risk that they could just start bursting into flames, and being attached near your front door, it's a pretty big risk to have that there could be a fire breaking out. So do something about that. And same thing if you've been buying from Kogan their power banks. Now, these are to recharge your mobile phones and things like that. They've also had a recall for the same thing, that they're bursting into flames too. So a bit of a problem. You don't want these sort of products around, and you know, get in touch with your suppliers who you bought them from and get them back, because that's scary stuff, especially coming up to Christmas.
Do you have dates on the Ring doorbell manufacturer? It was only late recently, wasn't it?
Yeah, so it's just the second generation one. So there is a new Gen 3, and there was obviously one before this as well. So it's only the second generation that's been impacted. There hasn't been any issues with the Generation 3. So just pay attention to that because and obviously it's the battery version, not the one that's hardwired in. So that's the other thing to be checking for.
Apparently, doorbells that were purchased between June 3 and September 7 of this year.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, June 3 and September 7 of this year. So if you bought a Ring doorbell between June 3 and September 7 of this year, you should ring the website. The Ring website, not Ring the website. You should check the Ring website for a new user guide, all right?
Yeah, spot on.
And you went to the Hunter Valley on the weekend.
I did. I went and spent 3 days there for our wedding anniversary, and it was amazing. And one of your listeners actually reached out to me before I even got there and said to come and visit to see them at Mistletoe. And, yeah, we left with a bit of a case of wine there. I was actually really impressed with the Shiraz that's coming out of the Hunter Valley at the moment. It was mind-blowing.
It is good, isn't it? So they invited you to go along, did they?
Yeah, listeners of yours reached out to me, heard that I was coming, and invited me to come for a tasting. Obviously went to other places as well, but, yeah, stopped by Mistletoe and had an amazing tasting there as well.
They're good people, aren't they?
Absolutely. Really nice. And honestly, everyone who we went and saw, especially with all the changes around COVID, everybody has become so accommodating with, you know, having you sit down for a tasting. No one's lined up at the bar. Everyone brings you some water and some sanitary products and things like that. It's really well done. And it's good because it means the Hunter Valley can stay open. So for me, I love the experience and can't wait to come back.
Over the weekend, Mistletoe Wines were selected. Their 2019 Reserve Semillon is one of the top 100 wines in Australia for 2020. This is the James Halliday, you know, the James Halliday top 100 wines.
That's right. It got 96 points, I think.
Yeah, so their 2019 Reserve Semillon is one of the top 100 wines in Australia.
I did taste it. I loved it. I actually went for their cheapest Semillon, actually. I found that one a little bit sweeter, so I enjoyed that one more.
They're good people, they are.
They are, It was, really lovely, and obviously the Hunter Valley put on a perfect weather for the weekend as well. So
where did you stay? Do you now know?
Beg your pardon?
You didn't know where you were staying when I asked last time. Where did you stay this time around?
So we ended up staying at the Voco Kirkton Park, so just around the corner from Irongate Estate.
You did tell me that. Yeah, Voco. Yeah. Voco. Okay.
Yeah, it was nice. It was nice.
It's a nice place there. I that was built by a local doctor's Father John Dobler. It was built by the Dobler family, Ken Dobler, mm-hmm. Ken and John Dobler. The Dobler family owned it. That was called Kirkton Park when they first built it many, many years ago now.
Everyone seemed to be referring it to that as well. Whenever we said to people we were staying at Voco, they said, oh, you're staying at Kirkton Park.
Yeah, yeah. Old habits, old habits die hard, eh?
Absolutely, absolutely. No, it was awesome. Can't wait to come back up.
What was your favourite winery apart from Mistletoe Wines?
Margan. Went to Margan Estate, and I think their Barbera was absolutely incredible.
Yeah, they're making some great wines too.
It's
wonderful up there. You know, when my wife and I first went up there, we opened a business there in 1993, accommodation, and there were 400, I think it was about 450 beds in the area when we opened our accommodation, and there's now, they say, more than 5,000 beds in the area.
Really?
Yeah.
It was busy. It was a very busy weekend. If we hadn't booked our tastings, I think we'd have struggled to sit down at some places because they're obviously trying to, you know, be conscious of capacity, but you've got to really plan your trip to the Hunter now. You can't just rock up and expect to do it all.
You do. I'm glad you had a great time. It's a wonderful place to be, a nicer place to live.
Absolutely. I wish I could do that.
I do. It's nice. But it's bloody hot there today, let me tell you.
Oh, yeah. I can imagine.
Oh, it's hot today. I just said it was about 38 degrees on my back veranda, and I'm just near Mistletoe up there. So let me just check. What is it? I love this Natatmo weather thing. It's just brilliant. It is. What are we? Updating. 7 minutes ago. Yeah, 38 degrees on the back veranda. And as I said, that's in the shade, has been in the shade since about 9:30 this morning.
Wow, that's hot. That is hot.
So it's hot, mate. It
is hot.
All right, Jeff. Thank you, mate. As always,
so
we'll
much.
Talk to you next Monday, and we'll put the podcast up on the website.
Thanks, mate.
See you. Bye. Jeff Quattromani.